WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Combine doesn't speak for game film. I mean, game and combine are different, but it's good sight for all the mid-round guys trying to get up in the first round. There's always late-round buzz popping in. I mean, especially guys like Nolan Smith from Georgia, who's coming off injury. I mean, guys like that need the combine. For coming off injury, you need that combine to show scouts that you have, that you're coming off injury strong and you can have the capabilities to perform.
Yeah, so we had a few Alabama participants in there. We had some people that went and didn't really compete in anything. They just went for interviews. But we had a couple of big-time Alabama contributors from this past season at the Combine. I think, for me, the guy that I thought did the best was Jahmyr Gibbs. What about y'all?
Yeah, I agree. He was going in probably running back one or two with Bijan Robinson. I think he made his case that he is the running back one, the best all-around, the most speed guy, can do it all. He was a kick returner for the team this past year. I mean, it says it all, and he can do pass catch, he can run between the tackles. I mean, what not to love about Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs had a really great combine. He really showed that he was the best athlete in his position at the combine. Branch also had a really good combine.
Yeah,
I mean, the list goes on between guys.
Yeah, we could go through all of the stuff from the draft. I think the one thing that everybody really likes seeing is the 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
So Jahmyr Gibbs ends up running a 4.36 official time. I believe he did share something on his social medias that had a faster time than that. I mean, whatever you can do to improve that draft stock. But he gets a 4.36. We have Jordan Battle with a 4.55, DeMarco Helms with a 4.57. Those are pretty good for defensive backs. If you're a corner, if you're listed as a corner, you want to be a little bit faster than that. But Battle, he's a safety, 4.55. It's a good time for him. Helms, you know, he's kind of been
hybrid.
He's like a hybrid, and when you saw him against Tennessee, you saw Jalin Hyatt kind of blew him away. Yeah. So you can definitely see where he's not going to be the guy that you want locked up man-to-man.
No.
Brian Branch was listed as a corner, but once again, he's been a safety. He moves all over the place. He ends up with a 4.58. Henry Toto'o with a 4.62. And Will Anderson Jr., he got a 4.6 40-yard dash.
Yep.
And some people were saying that was a little slower than they expected. But when you look at his 10-yard split was 1.61.
Yep. I mean, he was listed as a defensive end, so it wasn't like
as an edge rusher, you're really not going to be running more than 10 yards. I mean, it's that impressive. What, you said 1.61? Yep. Is that 10 yards?
Yeah, that was his 10-yard split.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're looking for the D-line, man.
Yeah, out of the, like, to put that in perspective, he runs his 10-yard split 1.61. Jordan Battle had a 1.56. Like, he's almost there with a safety.
Yeah.
Brian Branch, 1.56 as well. Henry Toto'o, 1.57. DJ Dale, offensive lineman, 5.26. You would want a little bit faster, but he's not. He's a lineman.
You can't really expect much out of a defensive lineman.
And then we went over Jahmyr Gibbs with the 4.36, just blazing speed. And the time that he actually shared would have made him the second fastest 40-yard time in combine history. Maybe he ran that fast, but the official time given is a 4.36. What else from the Alabama guys? Did y'all see anything that might improve their draft? I know we talked about Jahmyr Gibbs a little bit. He might move into that first-round conversation. We'll see what they think about running backs. Yeah. Running backs typically don't go as high as some of the other positions.
Yeah, I think Brian Branch, he was a name that was getting like mid to late first, but I think he might have gotten it, especially because of all the positions he played at. Especially, he probably did good in his interviews. I think he moves up just a little bit, maybe like between like 16 and 20. Still, I mean, anywhere you move up, anytime you move up your draft stock is just incredible. I mean, Brian Brandt, I mean, he's listed as a corner, but he would have played, I mean, he rushed a passer, he could do it all. I mean, I think Jordan Battle, he had a good combine. I mean, he needs a good combine. He's like a mid-round guy, like three or four, maybe a second. Safeties is kind of interesting because they don't really get drafted high, but he needed one. I mean, DeMarco Helms and Henry Toto, they needed a good draft combine because they didn't have the best of seasons either. So it was really just the guys who really needed to prove themselves had to have good combines, and I guess just wait till pro day.
Yeah, I mean, it really just shows how good the athletes are that come out of this school, out of the football program. They're all coming in. They're all showing up, putting up the numbers on the 40, the vertical. They're doing their interviews good. It all's coming together. Even if it didn't feel like it this season, there's just pure talent all over the roster.
Yeah. Also, potential number one overall pick. We'll see what kind of trades happen. But Bryce Young was at the combine.
Yep.
He did not run in. He didn't do like any of the drills. He didn't throw. Yep. He did take part in the team interviews, which apparently he blew some of these general managers away, like they're ready to take him. A lot of people were talking about all of his the measurables that they could have with his height. Hand size is always a big thing. Yeah, weight. Yeah. With him being 5'10 and 1/8 inch, a lot of people saying he might not be able to handle the beating that you're going to take in the NFL. What do y'all kind of think about that? Do you think that's really going to change anybody's opinion who wants to take him in the top five?
In the way today's NFL is played, is you don't even need to be tall with the mobile quarterbacks and just the way the offenses are run with the RPO. You can really work. I mean, you see like Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. I mean, Kyler Murray's what, like 5'9", and he's one of the best quarterbacks. He's just kind of set on a team that's maybe not for him. Russell Wilson, another shorter quarterback, has won a Super Bowl. I don't think that that's going to be any issue for him, especially with how good he is inside of the pocket and outside of the pocket, getting away from pressure. I think that's just going to be the main thing for him.
I think they were just trying to find something to talk about within the Bryce. They needed something to talk about. He wasn't even participating in anything, so might as well bring up his weight, bring up his height. And, I mean, look, Drew Brees is one of the best pocket passers. He was same size, pretty much, same weight. I mean, Bryce makes plays. You just look at the tape. The tape speaks for itself, and he was going against SEC week after week, and SEC is the best conference in football, so he was going up against NFL guys every week.
Yeah, definitely going up against NFL guys. He did take a hit. Yeah. He got hurt a little bit, played through it. It'll be different once you're actually in the NFL because now everybody is like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can still use his elusiveness, not, you know, run it all over the place, but just escaping the pocket, making plays happen that we are used to seeing.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little bit of a bias, but if I was a GM, I would take him.
Yeah.
If I'm Houston, I'd take him.
He's the most NFL-ready quarterback at this point. I mean, maybe you could argue Stroud's style is a little bit better for a team, but I think Bryce is the most developed and ready mental quarterback for the NFL. Yeah.
So since we're talking about quarterbacks in this draft, we obviously have Bryce and C.J. Stroud. They've kind of been – everybody's been going back and forth. Who's going to go first between them? I don't really have a problem with either one of those quarterbacks. My problem is when they start telling me that these other quarterbacks are going to get taken. Will Levis is one, but the one that just kind of came out of nowhere – because Will Levis, they were talking about him before the season. They talked about him through the season. But the one that's kind of just came out of nowhere is Anthony Richardson. Where do you see him going, especially after this combine that he just had?
I mean, he proved to us that he's a freak athlete. But, I mean, when you look at him on the field, he's just not mentally there to be an NFL quarterback. He makes some mistakes in the game film, like Nick said earlier. Film doesn't lie, and Florida was not really that strong team this year. Yeah, he had his moments of shining, but I think he's improved his draft stock a little bit, maybe even to jump Levis, but I don't see him jumping Stroud or Bryce or anything like what some articles I've read have been talking about.
I think it just depends which team really wants him, and because there's a lot of teams that really get desperate who really think that another team's going to take that guy. If they think it's your guy, maybe like the Raiders or the Colts, you might have take that risk and jump to number one because the Bears are not – I don't see them – I see them trading – because I don't see them drafting. I think they need to move back a little bit because they're looking for an edge rusher. So the Bears really need to move back because they're still going to have Will Anderson or Tyree Wilson still there. So I think Anthony Richardson, look, the game film doesn't lie. Florida was not a good team this year. Could speak on their defense. I think the one game that sticks out was the Utah game. That was the first game of the season where Anthony Richardson, showed – this is really his arm. It's – his arm is still in the question. I mean, his arm, he was throwing some cannons to, at the combine, so hopefully he's been working on that. So
yeah, but
athleticism as a quarterback is just important in the NFL, especially.
I mean, and he's got the size. Yep. He has everything that Bryce Young doesn't, and Bryce Young has everything that Anthony Richardson yep. doesn't.
And everybody was comparing him to Cam Newton. I mean, Cam Newton, his arm was, I mean, he didn't really have the best of arm coming into college. No. So I guess that's it. It's, I guess those, it's probably his closest comparison. Cam Newton had an MVP year, so I guess that, I don't know.
Yeah. So here's a couple of his, you know, results from the combine. 40-yard dash, he runs a 4.43. His 10-yard split was a 1.53. Vertical jump, 40.5 inches. Broad
insane.
Jumps, 10 feet, 9 inches. Freak athlete. We can see yeah. that. We see the arm strength. We see him throwing cannons. We see, like you were talking about that Utah game,
yeah.
you're just getting hit, not going down, scrambling around. I don't believe he actually threw any touchdowns in that game.
No,
but you could
so.
See, you know, the athleticism. He's going to make somebody happy with their pick. Yep. Is he going to still like that pick once he starts playing football? Yet to be seen. I have his stats from this year. 53.8 completion percentage.
That's not good at all.
2,549 yards, not terrible. 17 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. And then if we go through just a couple of these late season games when you're really thinking this is the time to step up,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, with Florida, it was a little weird because, you know, they weren't really going anywhere with their season at this point. He faces the number one defense, Georgia. 18 of 37, one touchdown, no interception. Okay, it's number one defense. That's fine. Texas A&M, he has a pretty decent game against Texas A&M. 17 of 28, two touchdowns, 201 yards. South Carolina, in a game that they won 38-6. He goes 11 of 23.
Yeah.
112 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He does turn it on in the next game yardage-wise. They're playing Vanderbilt. They lost 31-24.
Yeah.
25 of 42, 400 yards, three touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah.
Last game of the season, Florida State, 9 of 27.
That's
198 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. So he got the touchdowns there.
Going completing 9 passes. I mean, if he is a success in the NFL, then Billy Napier, I mean, it's a failure of a job, I guess. I mean,
yeah.
It kind of sucks we never got to see him with Dan Mullen, though, because Dan Mullen was the QB yeah. guru. I mean, we never got to see him and Anthony Richardson on the field. I mean,
well, I mean, if you're looking at it like that, you know, you saw what how, like, yeah. Dak Prescott, you know, mm-hmm. how he played at Mississippi State and all that kind of stuff. It would have been probably very similar.
Yeah.
And you would probably be – you would have already been talking about Anthony Richardson. It wouldn't have been a week before the combine that everybody starts talking about him. But, yeah, do you see him jumping anybody? I mean, I think we already kind of discussed a little bit, but, like,
maybe he jumps Levis. Maybe.
Yeah.
Levis had a good – the only reason that he would jump Levis is if some team like the Raiders decided that they were going to take Aaron Rodgers or Jimmy Garoppolo and let him develop underneath one of them until he was ready. Because other than that, I mean, he would just be Jameis Winston throwing 15 interceptions for 3,000 yards, just having weird seasons.
Yeah. I think if the Raiders were to do it, I think they would bring back Jarrett Stidham, so they would have that, like, veteran. I don't think he's going to start day one unless it's, like, a team like the Texans or something. I still think the Texans are going to draft Bryce.
So right now, latest mock draft from CBS, they do have – Bryce going number 2 to the Texans. They have C.J. Stroud going number 4 to the Colts. And then the next quarterback taken is Will Levis.
Yeah.
No, excuse me, made a mistake. Anthony Richardson at the 7th pick to the Raiders.
Yep,
and
I think that's the spot for him.
And then Will Levis, 9, to the Panthers. So we'll see what happens. We got some more things to talk about when we come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the free agent moves that happened in the NFL today. We'll be right back on 90.7 The Gap.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Well, Welcome back in to Student Section on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm once again your host, Adam Hambright, and we have some news today. We have a quarterback signing, New Orleans Saints signing Derek Carr to a four-year, $150 million contract. How do we feel about that, guys?
It's interesting. I mean, QB, it just shows how high the quarterback market is for teams. I mean, you're going to have to go out and spend money to get a quarterback. And there's not many – you're not going to find your Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrows out in the – you're going to have to draft them. And the Saints do not have really the draft capital to go make trades and move up in the draft to get a quarterback. So it's either was just tank till next year, and that's not how the – Mickey Loomis is a general manager. He likes to win now. He doesn't like to wait. That's why the Saints are in a bad cap situation. I just expected the Saints to either go get Baker Mayfield or Derek Carr, and then Derek Carr didn't want to wait around with the Jets and just got the deal done. So it'll be interesting. I mean, he's not a bad quarterback. I mean, he's been putting up 3,000 yards. He's getting older, but going into a team where the defense, I mean, the Saints are a defensive first football team with a defensive minded head coach, I mean, he's just going to have to game manage and just not turn the ball over, because that was just his problem with the Raiders, is just turnovers after turnovers. But, I mean, he was good at late in games, but it's just the turnovers that really made Raiders fans upset and a lot of fans skeptical.
Originally, I didn't know how I felt about this move. I kind of looked at it, didn't think much of it, and then I talked to Nick about it. I totally forgot, you know, after Tom Brady leaving the the Buccaneers, the NFC East now with Derek Carr, and then you're going to have a healthy Saints team coming back. They have a decent defense. Then you have Kamara, Thomas, and Chris Olave. It's that now that they have a quarterback, you got Taysom Hill too. You have a lot of weapons downfield and in the backfield now. I think that they might have that division now with that signing.
Yeah, some more details on the actual deal. $150 million contract, $100 million in guarantees. He will get $70 million effectively fully guaranteed, $60 million due at signing, and another $10 million in year three. They had to maneuver some stuff around to keep up with their cap space.
A lot of players, like I saw the other day, I was like Taysom Hill and DeMario Davis had like $14 million restructured to make cap space. So this happened. It's like a yearly thing. We'll be like $50 million and under the cap, and then they'll just see like five or six moves, and you're right back right at the cap limit. So it's just insane. The front office continues to do these things every single year, so I'm not really like surprised, and just his way of operating. So fans around the league are like, how does he do this every time? Well, it's just the way he operates. He just restructures. He makes it all into like where they have to do certain he has to do certain initiatives to be able to get contract incentives to be able to earn some of that money back. So he just makes it all into that. It's just interesting.
Yeah, so looks like the Saints finally have a quarterback that they're going to be happy with, at least for a year. They tried with Jameis. They tried it with Andy Dalton. Hasn't really worked out. Obviously, some injuries, too. So nothing's been really good down there. You get Derek Carr. We'll see what happens. But, you know, as you were saying, they weren't really able to move up to get a quarterback in the draft.
They're in a bad position. They had to give up their first-round pick last year to be able to get Chris Olave and Trevor Penning to the Eagles. So they would have had a top-10 pick, but the Eagles now have that. So they were able to get a pick from the Broncos for Sean Payton. So I think it's the 29th or 30th pick. So they really aren't in a position to get a quarterback unless they wanted to spend even more draft capital at that point. You're kind of during – not the best situation to do that, so you kind of just have to go get a veteran. And Derek Carr won't have much pressure. He's going into a division where the quarterbacks around him are all rookies and all guys who are not really proven in the league, and he'll be the best quarterback. He's not going against Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline or Justin Herbert every week. He's not gonna have to put up 35 points a week to be able to win ball games. He can put up like 20 or 21, 28 to be able to win like close games. I mean, the Saints offense has just been missing a quarterback. I mean, they have good weapons, and they have Taysom Hill. I mean, they got to get back to the Drew Brees days at quarterback, which is pretty high ceiling, though.
Yeah, not sure if Derek Carr will be able to live up to Drew Brees. Maybe next year. Maybe next year's draft. There's a lot of good quarterbacks coming out. Maybe the Saints are just buying time to where they can get some money in the draft. Maybe. But, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they just get drafted, you know, sixth round, like 200-something pick, and then turn into the greatest quarterback of all time. So what do we know?
Yeah, and I saw it. I think I saw a tweet. It was like the Saints haven't taken a quarterback in the first round since, like, 1970s, and that was Archie Manning. Mm-hmm. So they are – usually what the Saints do is a draft. They usually take defensive linemen, O-linemen, here and there. They'll take guys like that, linemen, linebackers,
you know,
you name it, besides skill positions.
You know, hopefully, for your sake, you know, the Saints are in the position to get a really good quarterback in the first round because they're never going to be up there.
That or Derek Carr somehow lives up to the hype.
But you were saying the last one, Archie Manning.
Yeah.
So, you know who's in college now?
I guess in 3 years.
Arch Manning. 3 years. He does good enough. Maybe. Maybe he's the next quarterback taken first round by the Saints. We'll see. We also have Geno Smith. He's re-signed with the Seahawks. 3-year contract, $105 million. Do we think Geno Smith's in for the long haul in Seattle?
I think so.
I mean, he's getting up there in age. I think he's in there for the 3 years, and I think Seattle's probably going to be at the point where they're going to draft a quarterback if they can't compete with San Francisco. And, you know, people forget the Rams are as good as they were. Stafford's going to be coming back.
The Cardinals. Kind of in a bad spot. They got rid of – I think they got rid of Leonard Floyd today.
That's right.
And they're going to trade Jalen Ramsey, so they did sell a ton of old guys on their team. I think the Rams – sold their soul.
They sold their soul for
that Super Bowl.
21.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that just proves the QB market. You're not going to be able to keep your guy. You're going to have to pay the extra money to be able to. And I think that's the reason. I think that standard was set last year with Kyler Murray getting that big deal. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he didn't even play for a whole season. He got, like, what, $200 million? I mean, just crazy what the QB market is, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, especially when the Seahawks were just – there was no expectation in Seattle this year after losing Russell Wilson, and to be able to make it to the playoffs, even to have a winning record was a lot more than fans up there expected. And I lived in Seattle before. I know how diehard they are about the Seahawks, and everyone there was very happy about the performance of their team.
Geno Smith, he deserves everything. He was such a good guy. I mean, he's been a backup, career backup quarterback, and just got his chance, and he performed the best he could. I mean, he led that team to the playoffs, and everybody doubted them after Russell Wilson leaving. They thought they were going to be laughing stock of that division. It was ended up not being the case. I mean, they still have talent, and we have good receivers around them. I mean, as long as it just doesn't turn the ball over, I mean, they can be in that game. I mean, I think Seahawks now just need to go get defensive help. Their defense was not set to the standard of what they've had in years past there.
Yeah, so Geno Smith, you know, he was drafted by the Jets.
Yeah.
We haven't really seen any quarterback work out with the Jets in a while. We'll see what ends up happening. But he just won Comeback Player of the Year. He has been in the league for 10 years, so we'll see if he can stay as healthy as some of these quarterbacks have, because, you know, lately a quarterback's been playing longer. Obviously, you had Tom Brady well into his 40s. You have Aaron Rodgers. He's kind of getting up there, but he's still playing at MVP level every year. So we'll see if Geno Smith can stay healthy. We'll see if he can continue with how he played this year. I mean, not many people expect anything. Now people are kind of going to expect actual good quarterback play consistently. We'll see if he can live up to it. Do we see any other, you know, big move? I mean, I know these aren't like big blockbuster moves, but like Derek Carr to the Saints, kind of big news. Geno Smith staying with Seattle, that's kind of big.
The Raiders locking in Josh Jacobs for their career was a huge move.
Franchise tagging
Jacobs was that's a major thing. I mean, he is a top three running back in the NFL. He hasn't really gotten recognized for it because the Raiders haven't necessarily been the number one or the number two offense in the NFL the last few years. But, I mean, he is one of the most talented running backs in the NFL, and franchise tagging him might even set them up better for a playoff run next year.
Yeah, and also, we had just talked about it with the Derek Carr of the Saints. Apparently, the other team in the running was the Jets. They did not get him. But from what I have been told is that the Jets told Carr up front that he was their number two pick. Apparently, they are still trying to get Aaron Rodgers to come to New York.
And I think Aaron Rodgers' relationship with the Packers is pretty much he's gone. I don't think they need to, they just need to cut ties and burn the bridge down. I think he's shown he doesn't want to stay, even though he's still playing at a high level. I think he's going to get – you kind of have to give Jordan Love your – you drafted him like 2 or 3 years ago. He's played good when he came in. I think his time is now. I think you just kind of have to move on and just move on to free agency in the draft.
It also feels like for years, you know, two, three years, we've been talking about Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay, and he keeps signing these short contracts, staying there. You know, who knows what's really going on behind the scenes. You know, maybe he ends up in Atlanta or Vegas, but – I mean, if the Jets pursue Aaron Rodgers, they only have a guy that's good for, you know, even though Rodgers has been aging like fine wine on the field out there, I mean, he's realistically not going to play for more than 4 or 5 years. I mean, if that.
I mean, I think that he's just a bridge quarterback. I mean, for the Jets. I mean, the Jets kind of need a veteran quarterback because who's that quarterback next year, Mike White or Zach Wilson?
You've got to let Wilson – you still have to – Wilson had his moments.
He had his moments.
He was a bad teammate.
He just wasn't good.
Yeah, so for the Aaron Rodgers thing, it's very reminiscent of how Brett Favre ended his career with Green Bay. But he actually retired. You know, he retired, then he was like, no, I'm coming back. Well, they already had Aaron Rodgers, so they were like, we're moving on from you. He ends up going to the Jets for that 1 year before coming back to the NFC North to play for the Vikings. We'll see if Aaron Rodgers is another Packers quarterback that goes and plays for the Jets.
It almost feels like Aaron Rodgers is just going to pull a Tom Brady and go to Tampa.
Yeah, I think it depends what he's wanting.
I mean
there's a lot of players.
How old is Aaron Rodgers now? Is he in his 40s yet?
I don't think he's 40.
Maybe 38. If I'm that, I'm moving to Tampa, not New York. If I'm in control, as much control as I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is where he's going.
Yeah, and you still have. You still have Miami. Apparently, Miami is thinking about moving on from Tua. We'll see what happens. So for Aaron Rodgers specifically, he is 39, so he will be turning 40 this year. But you mentioned somebody's name. Well, I mean, we've mentioned it a couple of times throughout the show, but you just mentioned somebody's name, Tom Brady, who. May not be retired.
I don't know what he's doing at this point. I mean,
he's
milking his time, milking the views. I don't know what he's doing.
He's got to stay. He can't. If he comes back, he's just not going to have any respect from the NFL, the players in the NFL. I mean, as great as he is at football, I mean, you can't retire.
It was kind of sad watching him just like welt on the field after. Continuously getting sacked, and it was sad watching the playoff game. And I think the Bucks are a team. I mean, it seems like a lot of their guys are getting released. I mean, Leonard Fournette got released the other day. Devin White looks like he might be getting released or something. So I think the Bucks are losing a little bit. I mean, maybe. I mean, he was just at a UFC fight the other day. I think it was on Saturday, and with Mike Evans. Maybe Mike Evans is trying to get him back on board in Tampa Bay. But I don't know. That's just it's who's next? Like, there's always quarterback drama. This is like the worst of the worst right now.
It's like keeping up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, it's like
keeping up with the Tom Brady's.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, he's played in Tampa for a few years before officially retiring. We'll still say he's officially retired. He has turned in his papers to the NFLPA and everything. And he said for good. Now, rumor has it that his original plan was not to go to Tampa Bay at all. It was to go to Miami. Didn't happen. He's went to Tampa Bay. He's got a house in Tampa Bay, or at least in the area. I don't know exactly where his house. I don't have the address. I'm not stalking Tom Brady. You know, let's not get carried away. Yeah. But with the rumor coming out that Miami might be trying to shop Tua away, are they thinking that Tom Brady might come back and then go to Miami, which is apparently where he wanted to go in the first place?
Well, was either he wanted to go to the Dolphins or was the Saints in the first place. So it was one of those two teams. But with Sean Payton obviously going to the Broncos, they already have Russell Wilson. It's just, I feel really bad. Tua's just always put in these weird spots, and he's always getting constantly blamed for everything. And he has injury problems, but he's a young quarterback still on his rookie deal. You don't want to just do that to Tua like that.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a few minutes and continue talking football. This is 90.7 The Catch Line.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back in to 90.7, the Capstone Student Section, Monday night edition. We've had a pretty, action-packed show, talking about Combine, talking about, some different quarterback signings, talking about potentially one of the greatest players of all time coming back out of retirement, and then another guy who some people say is better quarterback than him, maybe going to the Jets, maybe staying in Green Bay. We'll see what ends up happening with all this. Let's talk about a couple other guys that still haven't really figured out where they're going to be, or at least they might know where they're going to be, but nobody else does. Let's start with Lamar Jackson. I know there's been a lot of rumors about what's going to happen with him and his future. What do you guys think?
It says tomorrow he's supposed to get franchise tagged by what general manager Ozzie Newsome says, unless if no deal gets done, which, it's kind of hard because he's the agent of himself, so it'd be kind of hard to, because I think he's going to get between 170 and probably $200 million, like same with Deshaun Watson. But the Ravens have not given him any help whatsoever. On the receivers, the best receivers, what, Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman and Deshaun Jackson. So they kind of haven't really helped him out much, so I could see him moving on from them, but I could also just see him just staying in if they don't get Lamar Jackson back, they're in such a bad spot I don't think they'll want to go with Tyler Huntley, even though he's not horrible, but they're just in a bad spot. They need to get, if Lamar stays, they need to get him a weapon in the draft badly and free agency.
Yeah, 100%. And, franchise tagging Lamar would be huge for the Ravens, but I mean, if you're Lamar, though, do you want to keep playing? You discussed it before. Do you want to play against the Chiefs, the Bengals, and the Bills? And then also now, we see Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert really starting to put together teams that are going to be good.
Yep.
I just don't know if I'm Lamar, if I want to stay there, or if I want to go against the NFC, it's a lot easier to make it to the playoffs.
Interesting with Deshaun Watson's going to be his first full year in the NFC back fully. He was with the Texans, but he'll be up in the AFC North, so he'll have to go against Deshaun Watson now against Kenny Pickett, who improved. He's the guy for the Steelers. He's probably the worst quarterback in that division, but there's still time to be seen for that. But you had to go against Joe Burrow. Not an easy division at all, but the Ravens need to get Lamar help, because Mark Andrews, as good as he is, he's getting older, and he's the guy, but he cannot be the best playmaker.
He can't be his weapon. And
for the Chiefs, but not all teams.
Yeah, I don't know what all is just actual rumors of potential moving and what's just people making stuff up online.
Yeah, I saw something about him going to the Commanders. I've seen stuff about him going to the Jets. Falcons, nobody really knows.
I think the one that's interesting would be the Falcons, but that's because they have the money for it. They have the cap space for it. I don't see the Commanders. I think the Commanders are going to see what they have in Sam Howell.
The Commanders are going to make a sensible move.
I think the Commanders are going to keep on with Sam Howell because they have an offensive coordinator and Eric Bieniemy in. But I think I think if he were to request a trade and leave, I think the Falcons would be a team that'd be in on the Lamar sweepstakes if that were to happen, which I don't see it happen. I think a franchise tag, I think maybe non-exclusive franchise tag or something, they're going to keep him, or they're going to let teams be able to talk to Lamar. If they have a better deal, then I guess we'll see. But I don't think that's going to be – I don't think his – the drama with Lamar is not going to be over until pen and paper is signed and or the franchise tag is put on him.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. I've also seen some people have mentioned maybe the Falcons. Some people have mentioned the Titans. I don't really see either one of those happening either.
Yeah.
But we'll see. A lot of stuff to happen.
One thing I haven't heard about Lamar, which I don't know if they have the money for this or not. We talked about Tom Brady maybe going to Miami. Does Miami take Lamar Jackson? Do they have the money for that?
Again, you kind of just have to. You drafted Tua. You can't really do this to him. He showed that when healthy, he can put up numbers with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I mean, you kind of just have to keep Tua for another year and then just go from there. Because I think Miami is always going to be a destination for free agents and quarterbacks. And it's simple. I mean, players have been requesting trades left and right. I mean, usually you don't see that, but now if you don't want to be at a spot, NFL players requesting trades. So
right now,
yeah.
I'm looking at the mock draft. Y'all were talking about getting them help in Baltimore if you are going to franchise tag him or if he comes to an agreement. Well, he might just sit out. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen with the situation. But they have Baltimore taking Quentin Johnson, wide receiver from TCU, 6'4", 215.
I
mean, he would be the receiver one, day one. I mean, I guess it was either Ozzie Newsome or somebody was talking about how the Ravens didn't have any good receivers on that team, and it seems like some of the players on the team, like Rashad Bateman, took that to heart. Which, I mean, I guess I wouldn't want that as a player either.
I definitely think out of the receivers in this draft, if you just go by off of the stuff from the combine, this is a pretty underwhelming receiver class from what they showed. I mean, some of the guys, you know, they play better than what they look on the combine. So maybe you still just take a risk on them. But like Quentin Johnson to the Ravens would definitely help.
I mean, Quentin Johnson, I don't even think he did a 40-yard, but he was his film. He's got the jump ball. He's got the speed. I think he is probably the most NFL-ready out of the guy. I think him and Jackson Smith and Jigba are probably the two NFL-ready receivers. I mean, Jordan Addison, he didn't have a good combine at all. I mean, Jalen Hyatt didn't really have a good combine at all. It's just going to be interesting to see because I think this receiver class can be good, but it's just to be determined. And guess what? To see how the year goes on. But it's just going to be interesting to see who's going to take that risk. I think the tight end class, though, on the other hand, is much better than the receiver class, or at least much more hyped about. I mean, you got Michael Mayer, and you have Darnell Washington, who's coming out of nowhere. I mean, no, I don't think anybody in Georgia – I mean, people in Georgia probably could see that he had the potential, but nobody probably saw first-round mocked. I mean, it's just insane. I mean, he was a really good run blocker, pass blocker, but his catching ability did not really get used at Georgia. And he showed that to scouts. He's one of the best tight ends.
Yeah, I was watching some of the film from the combine. If y'all saw the video, you know, he's going up against the sled, right? You got to go up against the sled and you got to release. And every other tight end, like, they're hitting the sled, they're moving the thing like maybe a yard. He hits it. He moves like 5 yards downfield and then he releases. Like, he's definitely one of the top guys that you want if you're going to actually use him as a tight end should be used. Yeah. I mean, you have the Travis Kelce's and, you know, the Mark Andrews, like these receiving tight ends, but this guy, he can do both. Like, it's...
Yeah, it's almost like I would say the most comparable player after just watching him in the combine. He reminds me a lot of the way that George Kittle plays.
Hmm.
And, I mean, the strength is there. It's about the same. I mean, he's got the run potential. I mean, he's got the catch potential. He's fast, just like Kittle. Yep. I mean, he can block just like Kittle. I mean, he...
So currently he is projected pick 30 to the Eagles. Yep.
That would be...
That's
6'7", 270 pounds, and he can catch. And you put him...
Next to Dallas Goedert.
Oh, man.
Well, you got Dallas Goedert, but then, you know... I mean, I would say you put him right behind Jalen Hurts and have him push the pile, but they might be banning, you know, that little quarterback sneak play that they do.
I mean, that would just be so unfair with that line.
I don't know. I could see him being on the – there's a lot of teams. Tight end is becoming more and more like – I mean,
yeah.
Look at the tight ends down up and down the league. You got George Kittle, Mark Andrews. I mean, Darren Waller doesn't get talked about enough. He is a really good tight end. I mean, Kyle Pitts, he – I mean, they don't really have the quarterback for him, but he's shown he can be really good. I mean, they got – there's just Evan Ingram. He got franchise tagged today. He put on a show down in Jacksonville. And there are some teams who could really use a tight end. And if you want a tight end like him, he could come in there and make some plays and get you put up those numbers.
100%.
Yeah, so a lot of things that could be happening. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. So you were saying – Nick, you are a Saints fan.
Yeah.
You've seen the combine.
Yeah.
You've got your quarterback.
Yeah.
Who did the Saints draft?
Knowing the Saints, probably a lineman or D lineman, because the D line's getting older. The O line was not very good. If I had to guess, if you need a skill position, they need running back too, because who knows with how the Alvin Kamara case goes. That's not going to court until July, so you won't know the suspension. So if Jahmyr Gibbs is at 29, I hope the Saints pull the plug and get Jahmyr Gibbs or get a receiver. I mean, can never have enough weapons, especially for a quarterback like Derek Carr. You need all the weapons you can get. I mean, Bijan or Jahmyr Gibbs is like, if I had to get an offensive guy that was on the board, either one of those two or defensive lineman or O-lineman.
Yeah, so for me, I'm not a Saints fan. I'm a Steelers fan. Unfortunately, the last couple of years have not been the best for our organization. However, we just missed out on the playoffs. Currently, we got our quarterback last year. We got a couple of good receivers. Defense has been strong. I would personally like to see them take an offensive lineman to kind of just give protection. But looking at the mock draft again, they currently have the Steelers taking Nolan Smith from Georgia.
Yeah,
you put him and T.J. Watt on each side.
Man, it's scary.
So you were talking about how Kenny Pickett might be the worst quarterback in the AFC North. Now, he's shown improvement. I'm not saying he's better than anybody else right now, but you put those two guys against everybody else's quarterbacks, I think they're in a good spot.
Pickett was definitely better than Trubisky and what the Steelers had. He gave them a chance at the playoffs, I think. And then got Najee Harris. You have playmakers. You have Deontay Johnson, who's, I mean, he kind of crazy how he didn't have a touchdown. I mean, he's a very underrated receiver. I like him a lot. And you got Pat Freiermuth. He's another underrated tight end in the league who doesn't get enough credit. I mean, it just shows up and down coming a tight end league almost.
Yeah. What about you? Yeah. You got a team over there?
Not one that gets a first-round pick. I'm a 49ers fan, so the combine has been a rough one to watch as not really anticipate any major moves. But like you said, I mean, we saw with the 49ers, you don't need that talented of a quarterback if you can stop the run. I mean, the 49ers defense this year was one of the best defenses we've ever seen. And even though that they don't have a first round pick or whatever, I mean, to be honest, we don't really need much. I mean, we don't even, there's so much we don't even know that's going on in the quarterback room with how good each three quarterbacks played. I mean, we never really saw Trey Lance, but I mean, that's supposed to be our guy. Yeah. And then you got Purdy coming in. This is the guy all the way through, gets hurt in the NFC Championship game. We go fourth string. I mean, Garoppolo came in. He played really – I mean, the 49ers are in a weird position in their quarterback room right now. And I would not want to be in charge of picking the quarterback for the 49ers. All right.
Well, I'm going to put you in charge. Who is starting quarterback week one?
This season?
This upcoming season.
I mean, you have to give it to Purdy. I mean, unless he's not fully recovered from his surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be he won you 9 games in a row, took you all the way to the NFC champion. I mean, if you don't give it to, I mean, I just, but then you have, you never give Lance the chance.
Well, so, could be Purdy. It could be Lance.
It could be Garoppolo.
I don't think it's going to be Garoppolo. I think he's just getting released. I think it's going to come full circle. He's going to take over in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think that too.
So that's what I think is going to happen. Now, before we go, we got just a little bit of time left. There will not be a Monday night show next week. We will be on spring break. What are the spring break plans?
I'm going up to Nashville to cover the SEC tournament, and then I'll be back down in Birmingham where I live, and then hopefully going to watch Alabama play in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. So just big plans.
Got it.
I'm either going to the beach in Florida or I'm going to the beach at home in California. So either way, I'm going somewhere sunny and going to enjoy myself.
Yeah. So for me, I'm staying local in the Tuscaloosa area. I will be covering a couple of baseball games. I should also be heading out that next weekend to cover SEC Gymnastics Championship. It's going to be exciting, but we will be back Monday night, student section, in a couple weeks. This has been 90.7 The Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.